Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me tonight as we start off, we're going to go back to our study from last week on the symbolism of wings and the Word of God. If you need a handout, where are those? Do we have those available? I forgot to look for them when I came up here. Are they up here? Do we know if they're up here? I'm not sure if they are or not. Do we have the printouts? No. Okay, so we do not have it, but if you have yours with you, if you can just use it from last week, and we can get you the printouts later on if you don't have one tonight. And so if we do have them, maybe Brother Mike could get those. But nevertheless, we are going to start off in Numbers 21. And if you need a prayer handout, does anybody need a prayer handout? Raise your hand. We'll go ahead and get you those. While we're doing that, Brother David, we just got several up here that need a prayer handout. Jake or whoever, Michelle in the back, just make those available. No problem. All righty. Anybody else need a prayer handout up here? All right. Numbers chapter 21. You know, I just coming in just a few hours ago, just coming in from out of town, we took a really short getaway. The kids are out of school right now, and so we're figuring, hey, let's just take off for a couple days. So we got one full day off anyway with driving. We went over to Hilton Head Island, and it's just a beautiful day yesterday and today. Monday was a little cloudy and whatnot, but still beautiful. As you get closer to the coast, you know, the Spanish moss, you start seeing that towards Augusta, and it's just so pretty, and I always love it, just hanging from the trees there. Well, I got a good laugh out of one of my kids, little Caroline. We were just commenting on it, and she said, "Daddy, why are all these trees so dusty?" I said, that's pretty good right there. I don't know why they're dusty, but it's Spanish moss, honey. That's what it is. But dusty trees. And that, if you think about it with that gray, they do look kind of dusty, don't they? but she comes up with some stuff every once in a while. Dusty trees. But nevertheless, it is beautiful. And we stopped at a church there. It's called the, you guys may have passed it if you're going to Savannah or whatnot, but if anybody gone past the, it was back in the early 1800s, but it's called the Red Brick Church. Does anybody remember the Red Brick Church going past that? But anyway, they have a something that I just thought was really encouraging. It's out in the middle of nowhere, number one. And I don't know exactly. I know it was an old Methodist church. I'm not sure where they all are doctrinally right now. But when we stop, they have the old cemetery out there. It's right on a huge pond, and the Spanish moss trees are just hanging everywhere, and it is just beautiful. But one of the ministries they have to that community is they call it their blessing box, and they got this big box about the size of this pulpit, but about this tall. About the wide width of this pulpit, and it's you open the door. And it's all fresh, just freshly placed non-perishable items, food items, canned goods, boxes of food, even some soap and shampoo and toothpaste. And they put in there just for people in the community who are in need. And it's just free. You just go up and you can tell somebody stocks it probably often because we opened it up. They had, you know, bags of beans and rice and just all kinds of neat little things. And they also had a little prayer box right underneath it. And just to encourage you, they have a little note cards and a pencil to put your prayer request right in there. And they have the sign says we have a group that meets every Wednesday to pray for revival. And I just thought that, man, that is neat. And so I said, well, I'm going to give them some to pray about. And so I did. I wrote a little prayer request on there and thank God for it. I believe those people meet well on our way back today. Just so happened we were coming back on a Wednesday. And as I rode by there, sure enough, there were about three cars
out there in the parking lot, and I'm sure they were meeting for prayer. And just reminded of, you know, you can be a church that no one knows anything about out in the middle of nowhere and be used mightily of God. And I think that's just, that was just encouraging to see that. Now, they, who knows who these people are? Like I said, I didn't meet them, but I'm surely thankful that they have a heart for revival and a heart for prayer. And that was encouraging. Well, I want to point something out that you may have read recently if you're reading through the Bible. And that is found in chapter 21. And it's going to kind of be an introduction to the rest of our study on wings in the Word of God. But notice with me here, the children of Israel are getting basically towards the end. They are at the end of their wilderness wanderings. And so they've been through a lot. Moses and Aaron leading the children of Israel. There's been a lot of failures, but yet there's been a lot of forgiveness. There's been a lot of restoration. There have been consequences, but they're getting towards the end, and they're gonna fail again. They're gonna stumble again. And I want to look at a specific phrase that stood out to me when I was reading this the other day. And notice with me in verse 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." I want you to notice that phrase there, that last phrase. The people was much discouraged because of the way. And I think about that tonight. I think about each of us who are at some point in our lives, maybe right now in your season, you're in maybe one of those, the way. And whether it's a trying time, a test, or just a time of weakness, a time of unknown, whatever it is, there is always a tendency for us to grow discouraged because of the way. They were at the end, and boy, they're waiting on deliverance, aren't they? We've been praying. They've been promised the land of Canaan. They've not gotten there yet. And so there was some discouragement. And I just think as God's people, we need to be constantly reminded that the Lord is never going to forsake us. And we do not need to get discouraged in the way. Though there are times of lots of unknowns and unanswers to prayer from our perspective, that is. And that goes along with what we are studying right now and understanding the characteristics of God and speaking of the symbolism of wings in the Word of God. Because last week we talked about how they represent His protection. Under the shadow of His wings, we will rejoice. We talked about how there's that shelter and protection. And then we also talked about God's care in the second line. God's care for our lives as an eagle cares for its young. God made it clear that that was His care for the children of Israel. But today I want to look at another symbolism of wings in the Word of God, and that is God's holiness. Flip back with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, and notice with me in chapter 37, verse 9. 37, verse 9. In the tabernacle, as they were setting it up in a specific order that God had ordained and put forth, it says here that as they were setting up the holiest of holies, verse 8 says here, that one cherub on the end on this side and another cherub, these are angel beings, on the other end on that side, out of the mercy seat made He the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high and covered with their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seatward were the faces of the cherubims. And we also see here in the tabernacle, it's also going to be in the same way in the temple. And we could look at that in 2 Chronicles 5:7. It gives that testimony again of the wings of these cherubims. What did these wings represent? Well, you'll notice too, if you want to look over there very briefly, in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in your Old Testament there, Isaiah, look with me at chapter 6, a very familiar passage, Isaiah chapter 6. We see where in verse 2 it says, above it stood, and this is the throne of God. And it says here, and above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. That's the word twain is there, two, with two of them. And with twain he did fly. Notice what they were crying out in verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. When we see wings in the Bible, we also reminded of God's holiness. And friends, I want to tell you, if there's anything of God's attributes that I'll encourage our hearts the most, in my opinion, I believe it is God's holiness. Because that His holiness is that He is absolutely perfect. Without fault, without blemish. He's just, He's pure, and there is none like unto Him. And He will do everything well. He will do everything right. And He will do everything that is the very best. And when He, as His children, when we think of maybe when we're in the way, when we are tempted to get discouraged, I think it would do us all good to remember the holiness of God. And you think about that, there are several interpretations of why the cherubims, we find it in Revelation chapter 4 as well, but why would they have six wings, two of which would cover the face and two which would cover the feet, and the other two which would use for flying at the same time? What is the significance there? Well, there are a couple thoughts around there, but one that I tend to lean towards and others that I've studied is the fact that this one was to guard their face against the brightness of God's awesome and incredible glory. It was to hide that their face, and then the other was to cover their feet, to cover their bottom section, which was representative of the fact that they could do nothing without God. They could not go forward. They could not live out this life without God. And the other two that were kept flying were just a symbolic of a willingness and a readiness to do whatever God wanted them to do. They were His messengers. They were there to praise Him and to glorify Him and His holiness. And those wings would just be continuously flapping as they were crying out, holy, holy, holy. And you say, how can that be applied to our lives? Well, I really think it can, because one of the things that we need to understand is that God is holy, and there needs to be a real awesome reverence in our hearts towards His holiness here on this earth. I think about the psalmist that said, Lord, we worship Thee in the beauty of Your holiness. The holiness of God is beautiful. It is truly magnificent. And we think upon the fact that with humility, there were four wings represented, as one author would say. Four of the wings were showing forth a demonstration of humility, and the other two were willing, just a willingness to serve and do what God wanted them to do. And there's that right balance. You know, I thought that was a good observation, because we do want that balance. There can be a pride in serving God. There really can. God's people can get prideful when it comes to serving Him. And it can come in all various degrees. It's not just the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, members all alike. There can be a form of pride in serving God. But folks, with us serving the Lord faithfully, we don't need to have one bit of pride. Because everything we have is from Him and for Him and through Him. It is by God alone we do what we do. And so we give Him the praise. But as we think upon wings in the Bible, we think of God's holiness. And if you want some more references, there are many in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, there are several references to the living creatures. There as the cherubims and the wings in the presence of Almighty God. And of course, I mentioned Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. But then, notice with me another aspect of God's wings representing God's strength. Notice with me in Isaiah, if you're over there in Isaiah 6, can you just go over to Isaiah 40? Isaiah 40. Notice with me in we'll start on verse 29. Verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40 says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Very familiar verse that is to us, but I want to remind you tonight that when we see those wings as eagles, that is a representation of strength that comes only from God. The strength to be able to live for Him. It speaks of renewal. It speaks, I believe, of the ability when an eagle soars, he soars high. And he has a great view from that point in the sky as he spreads his wings out and sees the earth below. He has an overview. He has a high view of what's going on. And I'm reminded when we can mount up with wings as eagles, I believe it has an idea too that we can rise above our circumstances. We're not so caught up in the moment and allowing the current circumstances in our life to manipulate us and to control us. We are going to have the strength of God to rise above those circumstances. It doesn't mean we're delivered from the circumstances. They're a part of life, right? We go through them. But to have the strength of an eagle soaring is something that we all desire to have. And that God gives. And it's interesting that you see here in that verse, it says that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then it goes on. The first one is flying. Then it says they shall run and not be weary. And then it goes to they shall walk and not faint. I just thought that was interesting because, you know, as they're flying, then it goes down to their running. So then they're down to their feet and they're running, and then it goes down to their walking. What exactly does that mean? Well, I don't know. My thought of it is, and maybe there's some of you have a different interpretation, but mine is that once you are above your circumstances and you are walking in God's strength, you can come down and truly be able to run this life that God has given us and not be weary. You are then able to walk in this life that God has given you and not be faint. That's the strength of the Lord. But then notice with me God's healing. Would you go with me to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the book of Malachi. Last book of your Old Testament there. Would you go with me to Malachi chapter 4? Malachi chapter 4. I always think about when I go to Malachi. When I first got saved 20 years ago, I was just getting familiar with my Bible, really for the first time in my life. And I went to my friend who was helping me and encouraged me in the Lord. And I said, "Hey, what's this book Malachi about in the Old Testament?" And he was very kind, and he said, "Well, Brother Brinson, it's actually Malachi." And I said, "Oh yeah, tell me a little bit about that book." But he's the same one too. When I asked him about the book of Job, because I really did say that. I said, "What's this Job book about?" And he said, "Well, it's the book of Job." And you say, "Brinson, you didn't know that much about the Bible?" I really didn't. When I got saved, I mean, I grew up in the South and whatnot, but I just never really had much exposure to the Word of God. But I'm thankful for people that come alongside us. Amen. And work with us. But nevertheless, notice with me in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we see a reference to wings found here. Notice it says here, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about that day of the Lord, when the Lord will come back, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when he will set up his kingdom. That is the direct context there. And God Almighty is going to bring healing. And he uses the metaphor here, again, symbolic. He uses the word wings here. Because, folks, we need to understand tonight that our God is a God who heals. Remember, we studied just a couple months back on the names of God, and we talked about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And we talk about most of the times in Scripture that we see in the context of God healing, it is not physically, but it is what? What is the most context of God's healing? It is not physically, but it is spiritually. And the children of Israel needed that spiritual healing, and we need healing daily. After you come to know Christ, there is that salvation that God gives, but then there is a daily healing that God brings to us that is caused by sin. And thank God He does indeed do that. But notice, it is to those that will have a healthy fear of God. And when I think about wings in this context, I think about the fact that our Lord is like a nurse, a doctor who cares deeply, not just about his patient, but his children. And I don't know what kind of healing you're in need of tonight, but I want to tell you, you have a God who loves to heal. And He will, but it will take a true and sincere fear from you and me tonight. And we talked about what the fear of the Lord means. It means to have a reverential awe, but it also means to have an amazement of Him and a desire to please Him, to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. But we see our God brings healing. But then notice with me here, as we come to an end here, I want to notice our next one. It's God's compassion. God's compassion. Wings do represent God's compassion. Notice with me, flip over to the first book of the New Testament. We were just in the last book of the Old Testament. Look with me there in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. This is in the context of our Lord Jesus Christ looking over Jerusalem. And notice our Lord's heartbeat here. In verse 37, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." You know what I see here? I see here when I think of these wings that our Lord uses as an analogy, as a metaphor here, I think of God's compassion. Do you see what Jesus was saying? He said, my will was for you to come. My will was for you to be saved and delivered. That's what my desire was for you. I called unto you and you would not. And may we be reminded tonight that God is always calling us to be closer and closer to Himself as His children. And He shows forth compassion. But may we always remember that there's a lost and dying world that our Lord is calling out to. His compassion. As a hen would gather her chickens, her chicks under her wings. That's our Lord's desire tonight. I think about the people in this world that just we know have a testimony of not believing in the gospel. And I do believe at this point in time, God is calling them to be saved. And whoever that is, whether it be world leaders or whether it be people that are our neighbors, may we remember that God is calling them to be saved. And He uses people like you and He uses people like me to give them that good news. And I trust that we'll remember that. But let me close with this one tonight that does not speak of God's character, but this one actually, the wings in this context speak of man's character, or I should say man's tendency to be dependent upon the wrong thing. Would you look over with me to the book of Proverbs? This is our last one tonight, the book of Proverbs. Notice with me chapter 23, Proverbs 23. All right, 23. I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. Notice what the Bible says here. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And our last point here, as we've gone through looking at wings in the Word of God, this one speaks of man's riches. Man's riches. Now, we know that there is nothing wrong with someone being rich. There's nothing sinful about having lots of money. If God's blessed you with lots of money, that's great. And none of us, no one should be envious of each other because of that. No one's suggesting that at all. The Proverbs is not suggesting that. And there is nothing wrong with making lots of money. If that's the place God has put you in that position, there's nothing wrong with that. But this is what it is teaching. It is teaching indeed that there is a point where man can rely upon those riches for happiness. Where a man relies upon those riches for contentment. In other words, that's where he or she finds joy in life is in monetary things and having their earthly possessions. That's where their thrill comes from. That's where their satisfaction comes from. And really, we need to understand that the things of this and this earth, they are literally going to take wings and fly away. And those things that we emphasize and coveted perhaps, that were not in light of eternity, that were not for the glory of God, you know what? They're going to be, as the proverb says, we are not to spend our life just to make money, is what I believe this idea is the labor. But I believe it's talking about when we live our lives and whatever position God's put us in, it's not just to make money, but it is to have money to be able to provide for our families, but also to use them as tools for the Lord. The finances that God gives us and blesses us with, we are to use them for the glory of God. And that will help us to keep things in perspective. You don't have to turn there with me, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Lord was given this parable on this very thing. And he said this, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And so may we be reminded tonight that as one commentary wrote, I thought it was an interesting illustration that he gave. He said, "But don't get caught up in the false pageant of this world." I thought that was interesting. The false pageant. He said, the real manifestation of the Son of God, He will reveal everything that really mattered for eternity. And so as we think upon this text tonight, and specifically, let's don't get caught up in this world trying to show for the false pageant. We are here to serve our Lord and to use the means and the resources that He gives us. And we don't apologize for that, but we don't let those things master us. We don't let those things control us. And so as we think upon wings in the Word of God, I pray that some of these things have been an encouragement to you. I hope all of them have, as they remind us of many characteristics of our God. But it also reminds us, in such situations like we see in Proverbs, that there are things in life that are going to take wings and we'll never see again. And it reminds me of what will burn up at the judgment seat of Christ, that wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to perish. But everything we do for God and for His glory, we are laying up treasures in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for Your Word.